God levels a charge like a prosecutor in a case at his people, that they have been cavalier in their worship. They've been careless. They've been apathetic. They've been withholding, disingenuous in their worship.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today in this series in Malachi. Pastor Philip, we're talking about worship today, and you said that God is leveling a charge against his people about how they worship. Where are we going today?
Yeah. So the book of Malachi is structured around a series of disputes. There's six of them in total, and they're like little arguments back and forth between God and his people. And that's the literary structure. As God makes accusations, the people make accusations, and then they respond. And in this case, God leads out with an accusation that his people have been cavalier in their worship. They're not taking the worship of God seriously. It's not important to their hearts. They're wriggling off the hook and trying to get away with inferior forms of worship. So they're bringing maimed animals for sacrifice, the sick animals. They're not bringing their first and best to the Lord. They're coming up with ways to kind of cut corners and just do the bare minimum to keep God off their back and just sort of get on with life and live life for themselves. And God's going to say, look, I deserve more than that. I'm your God. I'm your creator. I'm your king. I'm your Lord. I'm your all in all. I'm your covenant faithful partner. I deserve to be worshiped on my terms. And it's a call for all of us, I think, Pastor Larry, to really self-examine and say, what does it mean to really worship God as he deserves, to come before him and to give him our all? And are we doing that? Or are we hedging and holding back? Or are we deficient in the way that we're coming before the Lord in the worship that he truly deserves? That's a sobering question.
Indeed. Let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we'll discover the true meaning of worship. This is part one of the sermon, Withholding Worship.
About a decade ago, I was invited to go on a medical missions trip up the Amazon River in Brazil. There were doctors and dentists and nurses and paramedics on this trip, and I was the token pastor, okay? At one point during the visit, I was wandering along the Amazon River bank when one of our local friends shouted at me, "Get back," right? "Get back." And it was a warning. And I slowly backed away to where he was, and he pointed at this log floating in the water that wasn't a log. It was a massive alligator. And it was right there in front of me, and I didn't even see the danger I was in. And his warning, which sounded harsh at first, was actually full of loving concern, wasn't it? It pulled me back from the edge of danger, and I'm so grateful for that kind of a warning. The book of Malachi is full of warnings that are a lot like that. Warnings that seem harsh at first, but they're actually filled with loving concern. They're warnings sent to pull God's people back from the edge of danger. Because the people of Israel had come back from the exile with this resolve to rededicate themselves to the Lord. And it wasn't long, though, that before the fervor began to fade. They grew tired of waiting on God's promises, and they fell into a kind of spiritual rut. They were doing all the right religious things, but their hearts were falling out of it. 400 years later, this spiritual slide into performative religion, actions without heart, would be embodied in what we now know as the Pharisees, that Jesus rebuked in Matthew 15, verse 8, when he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So here are the people of God in Malachi's day. They're on the edge. They're on the edge of falling into the gaping maw of dead religion. And the book of Malachi is shouting, "Get back! Get back! There's danger lurking right in front of you. And you may not be able to see it, but it's there. And you need to get back to safety while you still can." Now, last time we saw that Malachi was fetching the people back from the brink of doubting God's love, giving up on the covenant love of God. And today we're going to see that Malachi is calling them back from the brink, the precipice, if you will, of withholding in worship. Withholding in worship. They're coming to worship, but they're withholding themselves. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Malachi chapter 1. We're going to finish up chapter 1, looking at verses 6 down to 14. I'm going to read these words. If you'll give your full heart and mind to this as I read, this is the word of the Lord. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am father, I am a father, where's my honor? And if I am a master, where's my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food on my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now, entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to the setting, my name will be great among the nations, and that in every place incense will be offered in my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations." Thanks be to the Lord for the reading of his word. You'll recall that Malachi is structured around six disputes between the people and God as they argue back and forth. And this is the first half of the second dispute. It's so long, we need to cover it in two sermons. We'll do the rest next time. But it runs from chapter 1, verse 6, all the way to chapter 2, verse 9. But today we're just going to look here at verses 6 through 14 because there's more than enough to cover. And in fact, we're going to see three things this morning. We're going to see cavalier worship, cursed religion, and compelling greatness. Okay, there's your outline. Cavalier worship, cursed religion, and compelling greatness. Would you bow your heads and we'll jump in. Father, we need to know what kind of worship is acceptable and pleasing to you. We don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste your time. And so, Father, would you do the heart surgery we need today to understand what kind of worship you require, desire, and demand of us. And so, Father, we give you ourselves. We give you our hearts. Teach us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, first of all, cavalier worship. Cavalier worship. As this second dispute begins, God levels a charge like a prosecutor in a case at his people that they have been cavalier in their worship. They've been careless. They've been apathetic. They've been withholding, disingenuous in their worship. The charge comes in chapter 1, verse 6, right at the beginning, when he says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. Now, the logic here is fairly straightforward, right? Sons are to honor their fathers and servants honor their masters. So the question then is, where's my honor? God asks. After all, I am your father. I'm your father. I created you in my very image. I called you my son, Israel. I have raised you as my own. I have provided for your needs. I've protected you on every side. And I am your master. I am the Lord of your life. I am the ruler of all creation. I am the boss to whom you answer. I'm the leader you are to follow. And so now, since I am your heavenly father, I am your supreme master, do you not owe me both honor and fear? Now, the word for honor here carries the idea of weightiness, heaviness. It's in the word group that also contains glory. And the idea is that God deserves to be the heavyweight in our lives. God deserves to be the heavyweight in our lives, the one who matters more than anything else, anyone else. And the word for fear here carries the idea not of cowering, but of reverential awe, of trembling admiration, that God deserves our reverential awe. He's the one before whom we are to tremble and bow down. Where is my honor? God asks. Where is my fear? Asks, notice his name here, the Lord of hosts. The hosts here are the angels of heaven. This is the commander of the armies of heaven who is asking this question. And he asks the priests who are despising my name. He continues, verse 6b, but you say, how have we despised your name? The word despised here has the idea of to treat as worthless. How have you despised it? How have we treated your name as worthless, God? 7a, by offering polluted food upon my altar. Those sacrifices you're offering in the temple, God says, they're polluted. They're tainted. They're corrupted. But you say, 7b, but you say, how have we polluted you? Now notice, they're not denying that they've been offering polluted offerings. They're asking why God is taking it so personally, okay? Remember, he's accused the priests of despising his name, of failing to give him the honor and fear that is due his name, and they're saying, just because the sacrifices are polluted doesn't mean we're polluting you. Well, how have we polluted you, God? Why are you taking such a personal offense at the fact that we put the polluted offerings on the altar? 7C, this is a little messed up, yeah? It's a little messed up.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you're joining us today as we're talking about the right way to worship, true worship. Pastor Philip, I'm so glad we're doing this. Certainly, people could say, well, God is just being picky. He's being hyper-technical here. They're giving something. It's not like they're ignoring him. Why is it so important that that they do it God's way?
Yeah, so they're doing the bare minimum, right? They're bringing animals, they're sacrificing. But the point is that there's something going on in their hearts.
Oh.
And that's the real issue. When their herd is born or whatever, and they've got all those animals there, there's the big, strong animal they're supposed to sacrifice. That's the firstborn, the strongest, the best, the pure, it's perfect in every way. It has no deformities. That's the one they're supposed to sacrifice. And so when they grab the lame runt of the litter instead of the big, strong one, and give that to the Lord, and the priests just let it slide. I mean, they see a lot of animals. They know what's going on. They know that's not the first and best. So they let it slide. When everyone's doing this, it's sort of like, well, it's just going to burn anyway. It doesn't matter. What's going on is the hearts of the people are shifting. Instead of saying, God, you're so good to me. You have blessed me in every way. Everything I have is from your hand. I want to respond with an act of worship that acknowledges that you are my king and you are my Lord and you're my provider and everything's from you. And so I'm going to give you what you rightfully deserve. Instead of doing that, it's sort of the shift in the heart that goes, what can I get away with? God's, I just got to keep him off my back, make sure he doesn't mess with me. I'm like, what do I have to do to appease him? And so there's a relational shift going on in the heart related to God. And the bigger issue, God actually doesn't care about the animals that much. And what he cares about is our hearts. And the fact is, the relational shift from worship, God, you're so good to me, I want to respond with all that I am, to I'm annoyed that I have to give you this because you're big and in charge, and I just got to keep you away from me so I can live in some blessings and keep doing what I want to do in life. That's an estrangement. And that shift is what's fundamentally the problem. And so God's calling them back to a heart of true worship, and he's calling them out on their cavalier worship that's falling short of giving their whole life and self to the Lord.
Boy, that's so convicting, isn't it? This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. We're talking about true worship. And in that discussion, oftentimes when we think about worship, we think about music. So we come to church and we listen to music. We become consumers, so to speak, as opposed to giving. And since we're talking about the heart of the matter, when we just come and consume, are we really missing the point regarding true, authentic worship?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a cliche, right? People fighting over worship styles in church and I like this music and why aren't you doing more of that and whatever. And some people like hymns and some people like more modern music or whatever, right?
More tambourine.
Yeah, that's right. There's all kinds of opinions and musical style preferences and whatever. And I do think there's a modality there where we can come into worship and start thinking, it's about me and it's about my comfort and it's about what I want and what I expect from church and all this kind of thing. And I do think a heart of worship is going to actually be quite different than that. We're offering our hearts to the Lord. And I remember there was a kind of a funny moment. I think it was Francis Chan. Somebody came up and complained about the music in church and said, I didn't like that song. And he said, that's okay. We weren't doing it for you. We weren't worshiping you today.
Amen.
And it's like, it's for the Lord, and I think there's a kind of deference and humility that we ought to bring, where we don't demand everything is about us and our comfort. And I think that's a helpful corrective, and that might be a very, very appropriate way for us to absorb, what's our heart when we come into worship? Are we here to offer and to give ourselves and to respond in worship? Or are we here just to be entertained and consume this? That's really the wrong way to go about it.
So, Pastor Philip, I mean, sometimes I think, like the people in Malachi's time, it's we're just going through the motions. Isn't that the real problem here? That's like a performative type of religion.
Yeah, it's super dangerous, right? We can just get into the routine, coming to church, open our Bibles, singing the songs, Jesus will say of the Pharisees, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Oh. So they're going through the motions. They're doing all the right things. They're giving, they're praying, they're reading their Bibles. In other words, on the outside, it looks like they're doing all the right things, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons, you know? And so in the Pharisees' case, of course, they're doing it to impress people, and they're doing it because they think it's, you know, it's earning points with God at some level. And we can get trapped into that. This is just our routine. It's what we do, where it's just traditionalism for its own sake. We're religious and religiosity for its own sake. And what God really wants and has always wanted is our hearts. Mm-hmm. It's not about the sacrifices. It's about hearts. It's not about coming to worship. It's about worshiping with all of your being and not just going through the motions and saying the words. And it's easy for all of us to fall into the trap of, like, we're busy, we've got lots of things distracting us, and we kind of have our habits. And so it's easy to just sort of just show up on the outside with your body, but inside be doing all kinds of other stuff and just mentally disengaged and have your heart completely absent, even though you're in the room. And
so I think our listeners are saying, I want to pivot from that. I don't want to go through the motions. I really do want to move into where I'm worshiping with a heart of worship. Mm-hmm. How do we help them pivot today?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is just to acknowledge it. That okay, I've lost the true heart of worship. I've drifted. It's become this mechanical external thing. And I'm not doing it for the right reasons. Like, I need to repent of that. And so I think the first move toward health and toward true worship is just to acknowledge I've not been doing this right. There's a gap in my life. And I think coming to the Lord and confessing that, repenting of it, and just saying, Lord, I've fallen into this rut where I'm not really worshiping you. My heart has gone cold. I'm apathetic. I'm disengaged. Like, I don't really care. I go to the sermon, but I'm not really listening. I sing the songs, but my heart's not in it. Like, I need to confess to you, like, that's where I'm at, right? And His grace will meet you in that space. And the beauty is that all of our failures are covered by the cross. He died for it all. And so if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we come home. And then I think we do whatever we can to try to be present. I think the heart of worship is presence. It means right here, right now, in this moment, being as fully present. I want to mean these words as I sing them. I want to recognize these scriptures as I read them. They're for me. I'm asking God to help these things become real in my life. So it's a fight for being present emotionally, mentally, present in the moment, not distracted, but to actually be there in the moment. I think that's the pursuit. And the Lord will help us as we pray and cling to Him. He will help us in all of that.
Mm. I hope you are encouraged today, because we've been talking about really where the rubber meets the road. It's the heart of the matter. Are we just going through the motions, or are we in fact acknowledging who God really is and who He is to us? It's about moving from a performative religion to a heart that is truly present with God. To help you keep your heart engaged through daily worship, we're offering Rebecca Lutzer's book, Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know. This isn't just a list of verses. It also includes devotionals and reflection questions that keep you from merely going through the motions of memorizing. Rebecca explains how specific truths can actually protect you from evil and provide the spiritual stability that you need to worship God in spirit and truth. She digs into the prayer of obedience and the fear of God. Now, to be honest, these aren't just issues women face, but any and every believer. Now, that's why, for a limited time, we're offering Life-Changing Bible Verses Every Woman Should Know for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com, or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.